Hello and welcome to Volume 10 of The Grind with Burnside. Seeing as it's 4 days away from Christmas, this would be our Christmas volume of the show. Makes sense though, because we're going to be giving away some stuff today. We've got a Rebel Spell prize pack with a couple CDs, a shirt, and some other stuff for you. Stay tuned to the interview, and there's going to be a question asked. And first person to send an email to my Gmail account with the correct answer will be the lucky winner of that said swag. We also have an interview with Charlie Brown from the motherfucking Browns. All that plus music from the Rebel Spell and the Browns coming at you right now. We've got the Rebel Spell with Can't Fool Me on The Grind, Volume 10, punkradiocast.com.
Thinking so small, we only live this much more. Your cages won't save us, and no help.
6. Is there any place you haven't played yet that you would like to play?
Can't die! Please resist and maybe all the rest and fences. far as playing with bands, it's nice when they bring a whole bunch of people out to come kind of see you, but other than that, it doesn't mean that much.
Actually, I'm really amped to play more shows with Rob again, because we were hanging out with Chris Hanley the other night, and the more I think about it, the more I just feel like being part of G7 makes us feel like we're part of something like a legitimate
movement. Definitely G7 brings a lot to the table as a record collective. I know you guys just recently signed on with them, right? Just this past summer.
Inspired by it, and it doesn't happen very often. You don't know the winner who's going to do that, but I think it's cool to be inspired by someone.
Here's where all the Grind listeners have a chance to win the Rebel Spell prize pack, including a patch. We've got a medium-sized t-shirt, as well as the Rebel Spell's Days of Rage CD and their new EP, Four Songs About Freedom. If you can answer what newspaper the ad was placed in that brought these guys together, send an email to thegrindprc@gmail.com and scour the web, ask your mom. First one in that's correct will win. Send those emails to thegrindprc@gmail.com. And now, back to the interview.
Thank you. a chance to get together. We go travel and then get home and then we go and talk to each other for a bit. And then, so we are planning to write, and I'd really like to have something to release.
And that was the Rebel Spell interview. Just going back to some of the music that we heard within that, the first track within the interview was Please Resist off of the Four Songs About Freedom G7 EP. And the song that we just heard before we wrapped up the interview was Hacksaw off of the Days of Rage CD. Coming up right now, we've got one more of the Rebel Spell track for you. It is called They Know, and that's also off of their EP.
Somewhere inside, so you take.
Okay, hoping to get Charlie Brown from the motherfucking Browns on the line here, and should be coming through. Here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you today, Charlie?
I'm fucking awesome. How are you, buddy?
Great. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Fucking cold outside, though, huh?
It is. It's good old classic Canadian winter, though.
Damn.
Now, the Browns, the motherfucking Browns, what would you prefer me to call you guys?
Well, you know, there's probably about 100 bands out there called the Browns, so, well, obviously we can't make gig posters that say the motherfucking Browns on there.
Yeah.
But for the sake of reality, the name of the band is pretty much the motherfucking Browns. So whatever you want to call me, you can call us God, you can call us the Browns, you can call us motherfucking Browns, I don't care.
Let's go with the motherfucking Browns. I was recently checking out your MySpace page, and I see that there's a little bit of a battle going on, an online battle with another band called the Browns.
Yeah, those douchebags, they threatened to sue us because they had their MySpace page before we had our MySpace page. and I guess they're just complete idiots because... If anybody could tell, I mean, like I said, there's probably been 1,000 bands called the Browns over time. And I don't think Tom from MySpace is going to go stand on trial or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's
to support these guys. So
definitely.
Fuck those guys and fuck MySpace.
Oh, yeah. Fuck all other Browns.
Right.
We're talking to the motherfucking Browns. Now, you guys are on Meter Records, is that correct?
Yep.
You have been around for about 10 years or so.
Yeah, we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary this January, actually.
Fucking rights. I grew up in Calgary, and I checked out a lot of your shows when I was hitting the scene there, and I remember one show at the Multicultural Center where there was a lot of build-up to it that you guys sort of had a quota, or not a quota, but sort of a thing that if anybody pulled off your masks, you guys play in balaclavas, like ski masks, and three-piece suits and that, that you would stop playing, you would quit as the Browns. What happened with that?
Were you at that show when that happened?
I was, but I was pretty drunk.
Okay. What happened was, it was actually our CD release show for our first album, and, some fucking kid, well, it's funny, we have the show on videotape. The crowd was pretty rowdy and stuff like that, as they usually are, and some kid pushed me into our guitar player. I knocked him over, and then the kid I turned around and I saw some kid there who was wearing a hat. I took his hat and I threw it into the crowd. He then took my ski mask, and I picked up the microphone stand, and I belted him in the face with the bottom of the microphone stand.
Awesome.
We all took off our ski mask and said, congratulations, you just broke off the Browns and walked off stage. We went home, and the show was actually videotaped. We went home and watched the videotape of the show. And it turns out the kid I took out wasn't even the kid who pushed me into the guitar player in the first place.
Ooh.
So,
yeah.
In all honesty, the kid didn't really deserve what he got, but fuck, whatever.
Well, hey, if you're going to a motherfucking Brown show, then you need to know what to expect, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of more funny than anything. So we decided not to call it quits at that moment.
Now, you did take sort of a hiatus for a little while there after 99. What happened with that?
I'll be totally honest with you. We pretty much broke up the band. I fled the country for a while. I was living in the States. Then Tony Hawk contacted us about using one of our songs in his video game Tony Hawk's Underground. And they gave us a boatload of money for it. And I'm not going to lie to you, we got back together just to make money.
Well, hey, sometimes you got to do that, right?
Yeah.
Now, the song that was on that.
In the other country, I had some other people playing in the band with me as the Browns. And we put out a record called And Now the Screaming Starts, which came out in 2004, and then I moved back to Canada in 2007 and reformed with the original members.
The original members. So we're looking at pretty much everybody from the start of the Browns back together.
Everybody
back
except for the drummer who died.
Yes,
he's not
ODB.
Around anymore. But ODB Brown, he passed away, so he's not around anymore. But other than that, we've got all the original members, and we added another guitar player as well. By the name of Buster Brown.
Fucking rights.
Yeah.
Now, that song that was on Tony Hawk's Underground, American Werewolf in Calgary.
Yep.
That's just a huge song. I mean,
yeah,
it did a huge
well
deal for you.
Yeah. It was, I mean, the year that video game came out, it won Soundtrack of the Year at the MTV Awards. So that got a lot of things. And then it was also prominent, or the song itself was featured in the commercials for the game that were on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of money.
Definitely increased your audience and everything. I was looking on Interpunk, just doing some stalking research on you guys, and so there was a lot of reviews from like Germany and France and just all over the place. That it's kind of cool to see you know, a Calgary band getting that kind of rep on a huge video game album like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it was overdue.
Now, is that something you'd consider doing again if the opportunity arose?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, we were featured with bands like Kiss and Red Hot Chili Peppers and Jane's Addiction and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, we'd be idiots not to.
Yeah, for sure. Now, recently read that that you're doing some work with Killer Film.
Yep. I also work for KillerFilm.com. I'm one of their contributing writers there. And actually, probably within the new year, me and a couple of the other people from Killer Film are going to go and make another website as well that's going to be a little bit more of a partnership. Right now, I'm just an employee of Killer Film.
Okay.
This will be a little bit more of a partnership where I'm actually going to be like half owner, and it's going to be a little bit more on the exploitive side of cinema. So a little bit more focused on, I mean, if you read my reviews on Killer Film and my articles, majority of them are on like gory movies or TNA movies and shit like that, which is the stuff that I like. But a lot of the other writers write more mainstream reviews.
Okay.
So we're going to go and create a new website that's going to be a little bit more on the exploitive side and stay away from anything that's mainstream.
Awesome. Now, to explain KillerFilms.com a little bit more, that is just a review site or?
No, it's well, it's reviews, interviews, news. I mean, it's just your basic run-of-the-mill horror movie or horror website.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just give you, you know, a daily dose of what's going on in the industry. But, I mean, like I said, they do a lot of more mainstream things, and they just focus on film. The new site we're going to work on is going to focus on podcasts, music, comic books, pretty much anything that kind of falls in the genre.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I was just recently down in Calgary for the Johnsons This Is a Standoff show weekend spectacular at the castle there, and saw that you guys had a show that was posted for the end of the month, for the 30th.
Yep.
Is that still on? I saw something on your website that said it was canceled.
Unfortunately, we're not playing. Yeah,
oh, okay.
We had to back out due to some personal reasons. Somebody's being kicked out of the country for a little while.
Mm.
But when we get our shit back together, we're probably not going to do any more shows for the rest of the year. But in 2008, we'll be back on Hitting It Hard. We also have plans to write and record a new album in the new year as well. So
cool. What month frame are you looking at doing that? Hitting the studios.
You know what? I don't know. I really don't know.
Just sort of a relaxed something you want to do, but no.
We've been a band for 10 years. We've only put out 2 records. We don't really care that much about like time frame. We're not going anywhere. So, I mean, you know, we'll get it done.
If I was to throw to one of your songs right now, what track should I be hitting on?
Hey, man, what do you got there? You got both albums or what?
One sec. Honestly, my ex-girlfriend stole my Greatest Hits Volume 1, which was one of your first releases. I am down to what you have on compilations. I've got the Invasion Meter Record Sampler and two Corrupt Records samples.
I don't even know what's on those, so you pick one. You let me know.
Okay, well, let's throw to Rock and Roll Nightmare right now. This is available on...
And Now the Screaming Starts. Came out in 2004.
That's your newest.
Fucking killer track called Rock and Roll Nightmare.
Awesome, here we go. That was Rock and Roll Nightmare by the motherfucking Browns on Meter Records. You've just heard a sample of what they play. Now, this is you guys sort of have a horror punk theme to you. Is
yep.
that correct?
When we first started the band, we said we wanted to make a band that sounded like the Misfits better. So that's what we came up with.
Good. I like the ambition of going after the Misfits genre and tweaking it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I mean, listen to them now, seriously.
Yeah. Well, what is the what are the Misfits right now?
What are they?
Yeah, it's like what?
Well, it's Jerry Only and I don't know, Robo and Dez from Black Flag, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, you're not looking at the classic lineup of the Misfits, that's for sure.
I mean, even the stuff with Michael Graves wasn't that bad. Like, it was pretty good, but I mean, now it's just kind of like dragging the name to the mud at this point.
Yeah. Do you guys, what do you think of that when bands sort of break up or whatever, they have their issues, and then it's sort of like one or two members that are carrying on the name and they have a whole bunch of filler musicians?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, we kind of did it, but at the same time, like, I mean, I don't think there's a big difference between the first record and the second record sound-wise. I think you could listen to it and be like, yeah, okay, you could definitely see the same people playing those songs. In the case of, like, the Misfits, I think it's very hard to...
Hello?
Sorry about that. I got another call coming in.
Hey, no worries.
It's very hard to say. I mean, in the case of the Misfits, I think you can tell that the primary song is no longer in the band.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who are in the band are just trying to make things that sound like how they think Misfits bands would want it to sound. Which, I mean, that's fine. You know, if you can do it in a respectful way, people still like what you're doing, then that's cool. But, you know, I don't think it's really working.
Yeah, you know? that's sort of my opinion on that as well. Just not a classic Misfits, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Like I said, I mean, even stuff with Graves is pretty good, but at this point, the best thing that could happen to, like, either the Misfits' career or even Danzig's career is if they just join forces, because, I mean, neither of them really make good records anymore.
But there's a lot of bad blood, I'm assuming, between
there totally is.
Now, there are a lot of connections with your band to other Calgary bands. If I'm correct, you started off with a couple members from the old band Showdown 76?
Yep.
You were in that yourself? Is that correct?
Yep.
And there's also links to Porter Hall and Miko and yep. Donnybrook? Is that correct?
Yeah, the incestuous nature of the Browns is pretty rampant. There's probably about 10 bands that have been associated with the Browns. Well, actually, probably more like 20 bands if you were to go with both incarnations of the bands. Mm-hmm. Talking about people from the Catholic Boys, the Leghounds, the Jetty Boys, Donnybrook, Miko, Porter Hall, Showdown 76. It's pretty ridiculous.
But you have a pretty solid stamp on the Calgary punk scene.
Oh, yeah, we own the scene.
There you go. Now, since you are the owners of the Calgary scene, what are your thoughts on how it's shaping up and how it's looking these days?
There's some great bands. I mean, none of them as great as us, but, you know, there's some good bands. Some up-and-coming bands like Rex Stiff and the Kinky Morticians, Schlank Shoulders, Stonehawker. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We're friends with a lot of good bands.
Awesome.
I mean, they all look up to us, but, you know.
Well, you have to, right?
In fact, there was a talk a couple years ago, which will probably still happen, just kind of sitting on the back burner right now, of Meter releasing a tribute album to the Browns from all bands around
really?
The area. And on that, it was scheduled to have Bogart, Rex Stiff and the Kinky Morticians, and a few other bands as well, some bands out in the States, Beach Patrol from Wisconsin.
Hey, that would be an awesome disc, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We're either considering on it being a standalone album or maybe the a bonus disc included with the next Browns album, so we'll see what happens.
Cool. Now, you guys are sporting fantastic footwear right now, thanks to a deal that was inked by Dino, I'm assuming, at Meter Records.
Yep.
Converse.
Yep.
How did that come to be, Dino?
Well, they know good stuff when they hear it.
There you go. They want it to be attached to one
Everybody
of Calgary's premier brands.
So, I mean, you know, they just weren't surprised.
Do you foresee any more sort of corporate linkings like that with
Meter? Oh, man, we can be sponsored by anybody. We'll fucking take free burgers if Burger King wants to give them to us.
Recently, there was a Taco Bell promotion, I think, that touring bands get free food or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Ted Leo. Somebody played a joke on Ted Leo and signed him up for it, and he won, and he was all pissed off.
Nothing like burritos for vegetarians, eh?
Yeah.
So you were saying new album coming out sometime next year,
yep.
And you'll be focusing on that.
Yeah, that's at this point our focus is to, you know, like I said, we played a handful of comeback shows over the fall, some sold out shows in Calgary. What we'll probably do in early 2008 is play a couple more shows just to bring in the new year, and then get locked up in the studio, and definitely by the end of the year we'll have a new album out. Maybe that double album we're talking about, maybe a live DVD we're talking about as well.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
What's your fan base right now? What sort of the age group are you looking at? You have a lot of
people
younger
of all ages love the Browns. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it started off where people were pretty much like from like ages 13 to 18 were our biggest fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think a lot of those people have grown up listening to the Browns, so those
yep.
people are like bar age now. So, I mean, it's such a wide variety. I mean, we play all ages shows, like there's young kids there that we've never seen before that are going crazy, and then we play bar shows where people have been seeing us for the past 10 years who are still going crazy.
Now, do you think that some of the edge of the Browns has been taken off over the years? When I first was sort of bearing witness to the explosion of the Browns back in the day, to be honest, I was a little bit scared of you guys. I mean, there's always, like, fights on stage, like you were talking about earlier, and just, it was good old punk rock, but there was sort of that air of, it's a Brown show, what's going to happen?
Yeah, no, that hasn't changed, man.
No? Awesome.
Nope. We're just older, but we can still fight.
Good. You just have, you're more skilled at the art of onstage fighting.
Yeah, but just a couple of us have, like, some black belts now. That's the only thing that's changed.
So watch out if you're hitting a Brown show in the near future. Brown show's in the near future. You said you were going to take some time off. Any chance of a show to sort of regenerate the local scene?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Like, there's nothing, like, on the books right now that I can tell you, but we're definitely working on some big things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you a definite date right now. All I can say is if you stick around the MySpace page, which is myspace.com/themotherfuckingbrowns, or the official website, which is never updated, which is meterrecords.com/browns, you'll definitely see something up there, and I think some people will be pretty shocked about what we have planned for the next year.
Oh, I look forward to see that. Anything else you want to toss out there before we throw to another couple of your songs?
No, man. Just want to thank you for giving me a call here on this cold fucking Tuesday. Keep me warm. If you want to come over and cuddle later, I'll leave the door unlocked.
It's about a 6-hour drive, so just leave the lights on.
No, just bring a ski mask.
Will do. I try not to travel anywhere without.
All right, buddy. Take care.
religion. I think about the reason. I guess I just need to understand. I had a place in mind, a very nice place in mind. I did the college just in time. I knew my friends would be suspect. Cause I'm not a little bit. I'm not moving out to school. True, I mean that girl I made. One, my only interest. She said that she's a good teacher. And now we have a nice teacher. If I would just be doing with her, because she's not like my mother. Well, my girl's in college and I walk into her class. Now care if her books after school. The teachers take her book and then a second glance. But I want you. I want you. My prayers are going down the tubes and I don't know what can I do. I can't get my mind off of you. I think I'll need a drink. I'm showing up in your class. I'm hoping that I'll fucking pass. And once my dad will kick my ass and he'll tell me I'm so bad. But she says that I can't say that she's secretly a millionaire. She never has a fucking care. She never has a duper. She said that she's a designer. She makes me even more on her. But fuck, we gotta kill her father. Fine, I don't know if I'm father. Just that she keeps me up with through all night. And I'll carry purpose after school. And I wrote about her in the essay that I write. But I want you. I
That was the motherfucking Browns with Sex Kittens Go to College. Thanks again to Charlie Brown for his time for that phone interview. I just want to invite you guys to visit the YouTube page, www.youtube.com/Burnside780. We have some new videos up there. I recently uploaded an Instant Pink video. They were featured in the Grind Volume 8 Alberta Blend. So that's up there. We're also going to have some performance video from the Rebel Spell when they played Edmonton at the Avenue Skate Park. We'll also have some interview stuff packaged in there as well. My apologies to Nick from the Johnsons. I still haven't had a chance to get to your stuff. But in the new year, that will be coming up there, along with Weaker Than's and Greg McPherson video. So check that all out. Now, as always with The Grind, what I like to do is leave you with a track from an interview that's going to be coming up in the next volume of The Grind. The next volume of The Grind should be coming at you probably mid-January or so. And I'm really stoked about this. It's going to be Death by Stereo. Turns out they are playing a small pub in my hometown of Calgary on New Year's Eve. So, yeah, big band, small venue. It's going to be sweet. So with that, we're going to leave you with a little Death by Stereo. You guys have a good holiday. Have a good New Year's and all that. And this is Death by Stereo. This Curse of Days on The Grind. Wrapping up Volume 10 on punkradiocast.com. Peace!
There is no silence now. You will- You never